shouts. Here we go. That's right. We are back, you bunch of fucking dorks. Welcome to season two of NFL Australia. I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer. Sometimes Rolling Stone, Triple J. Literally, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around stuff. Not that I can do too much walking around at the moment with the old lockdowns. But here we are in Lockdown Larry Armour Studios. On the other side of this here iPad, tell you what, it's a bloke running around. He's 5 kilometre radius, drunk with power and booze. He's Northcote's answer to Joe Rogan, apparently, out there bow hunting some fucking elk. I don't know. It's sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate, he's your mate, it's bloody Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
What's up, Jax? We made it back. Maybe it's not a coincidence that last year we kicked this thing off with a week's notice in a fucking lockdown, and then we've come full circle and here we bloody are. The spicy fucking cough. But that said, we had 6 months to plan how we're going to do season two. You know, there's always a big leap between the rookie season and year two. And, of course, we had a meeting last week over a couple of beers and nothing changed. So we're back. Fucking we're back, Jimmy.
Why change your winning formula, I'll tell you that much. But look, heads up to everybody, because I'm getting my noggin chopped into. We're cracking open NFL Australia a little bit early this year, doing the preview show 2 weeks before kickoff. So take this entire preview prediction show with literally all the salt. It's like a fucking spicy COVID margarita. And don't blame us when dudes get hurt. And all of this entire show is rendered fucking pointless 15 minutes before it goes up. It doesn't matter. Just deal with it. This is our thoughts heading in to a fucking wild 2021-22 season. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. So let's just bloody well get to it. This is episode 25 of
25,
NFL Australia.
Fuck me!
Unbelievable. Let's go! I've been broken. Wah! Oh, hey, I'm Kirk Cousins. I'm a fuckhead, and I want special treatment because, again, I'm a fuckhead. And you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, Gaz, there we go. We're back. It's 2021, 2022, which is, I hate just even thinking about 2022. I said this on NBA Australia last week. We've got like contracts that are running through to 2027 now. I don't want to deal with that. In my brain, it's like still 2018. Like, fuck that noise. But either way, look, we had a nuts offseason. We did do one or two offseason shows, caught everything up post-draft, post-free agency. Let's do a really brief rundown of the biggest off-season guff since that last show, real fast. Aaron Rodgers came back. Carson Wentz is still made of glass. Dak is fucked up, maybe. The Raiders and Rams punched on. The fans keep punching on. Everybody's punching on. Carl Lawson tore his Achilles. AJ McCarron tore his ACL. No one knows what the fuck is going on with Deshaun Watson. The Texans in general as well. Zach Wilson is apparently a golden god. Vrabel's now tested positive for COVID. And everything's a little bit fucked up because they were doing joint practices with the Bucs, but apparently the NFL's just ignoring most of the COVID shit. Who gives a fuck? Full steam ahead. Boom. Off we go. What do you reckon?
Woo! Wow. Wow, mate. Here's us fucking trying to appeal to a foreign market, and you reckon any Yank is going to understand what the fuck you just said without subtitles? Jesus Christ. Look, on top of all the things that you just mentioned, we've got guys like fucking Cole Beasley, who comes out making these blanket statements about not getting vaxxed, and players threatening to retire for saying it's their choice, and a bunch of players who sat out last year who were like, oh yeah, that guy's coming back. I forgot about that guy. There's actually some players who lost the whole preseason season before to injury, then sat out last year, and you're like, oh, that guy didn't die. Oh yeah, fair enough. Anyway, then you've got the NFL teams, the NFL telling teams that if they can't field a team because of unvaxxed players and an outbreak, well, then they forfeit. So, yeah, there's not the same softly, softly touch as we saw last year. So, mate, this thing's definitely not over. The spicy cough is back to hurt us again. Aaron may have made himself a bit of a prick to fans and players, getting player fans and players offside, but then he turns around and gets his guy back, right? Goes out and gets old Randall Cobby back, and we just need We just need Geordie to come. We've got the band back together. The band's
Geordie
on the
Nelson.
Run.
Get Geordie Nelson. Back. I love that.
Come out, sunshine.
His big ant head.
God yeah, big ant. Look, Carson, we'll touch base with Carson a little bit later because so many off-season moves involved quarterbacks. But that felt so long ago that the Carson things that we were talking about, you know, 6-8 months ago, I know it was fucking expected and it was coming for a long while, but I'm making it my goal, my New Year's resolution in, what month are we in? August? To not talk about Carson Wentz as much as I fucking had to last season.
Allah's going to be broken 30 seconds into this season. I love it. All right, so with that off-season sort of in mind, give me your double-fisting some tins, got to get it out. Three highlights of the off-season. AKA some of the storylines from that offseason that you reckon will have the biggest impact on this actual football season. Me, the obvious ones. Aaron Rodgers returns. Green Bay aren't relying on Jordan Love. That's massive. The Matt Stafford trade. It was huge when it happened. Still huge now. Everybody's jumping on the Rams' dick, including me. And Drew Brees hung him up, finally, to probably go hang out with his best fucking mate, old Donald Trump. Jesus Christ, that's fucking bizarre, isn't it? But the thing is, I think that's a big, a big storyline in my brain, football-wise, because the Saints are still a giant fucking question mark, right? Like, they're still kind of like, who's starting at QB? I don't know, whatever. And my honorable mention is going to go to not the Julio Jones trade, because I want to get into this just in a second. Just feels a bit fucky to me. Like, we all know he's good. But how good is he? And how much does he change your entire team's makeup? I guess we're going to find out. But my sort of weird reptilian brain is kind of like, nah, I don't know. Anyway, what have you got, Gaz?
Yeah, look, I really tore my brain to think of things that weren't QB related because the top three for you have been, and there's obviously some big storylines with big free agency signings and some COVID world stuff and some new, you know, coaches coming out of college like Urban Meyer, but really it's come down to the QB things that you've mentioned. Things like the Watson and Wentz trade, which may end up tied, right? Depending on what the Eagles get for Wentz, how he performs this season, and depending on what happens to Watson. If he's back playing next season, then teams are going to have some big draft capital to throw around. But definitely the off-season for QBs because the top 20 in the draft was fucking very QB heavy. And never, like, there was no time in this draft did you go, you know what, those pricks definitely made a reach. AKA fucking Mitchie Trubisky, right? The moment that pick was made by the Bears, everyone went, ooh, that's going to
hurt. I still remember being in the pub when that happened and everyone just going, what the fuck? And
yeah. Oh, mate. If I'd driven by a cop car, I'd like picked up my phone while driving and messaging my Bears mates going, oh, fucking better not have an accident here but I can't miss this opportunity. But look, how often do we have a starting quarterback for quarterback trade? Like that Stafford Goff one is could go down for the ages. And as you said, look, the excuses are gone now. So for Matty Stafford, that's why it's become the Stafford trade, and less talked about as the Goff trade.
Yeah.
But I'm really torn on that Tulio. That Tulio. It was that guy who sang Gangster's Paradise. Tulio. Anyway, so I love him in full flight. He's one of those guys who just seemed inseparable from the uniform of the team that he played for so long. So I'm going to struggle to see him playing a real regular season game in someone else's uniform. But with the acquisition of Kyle Pitts and somewhat of a rebuild after a shitty fucking year for the Falcons last year, it just made sense. And that piece, could that piece be the one thing that gets them over the hump and takes the Titans to the big dance?
Yeah.
With AJ, Dezza, fucking Ryan.
I love it. It's like, it does
could be
sort
that
of
thing, right?
It's sort of like the point behind like the Julio sort of, I don't know about it, is like it's really rare that you actually see like a wide receiver trade work out, like especially a big name one, like it's like a handful ever have really sort of changed the fortunes of franchises they've gone to, because it really sort of, you know, it's the individual sort of position rather than the collective idea of the team. But you do look at this Tennessee offense, you're like, geez, bit of weapons,
yep.
Bit of weapons, oh, a couple of weapons here, watch out. But I don't know. Look, I'll probably be proven to be an idiot and no one to be surprised. Right, let's do some Yeah Nahs. They are brought to you as usual by the
First
Daily Liquor.
First Yeah Nahs of the year.
Always the DailyLiquor.com jumping behind this. Bang in the code STRAY when you go to thedailyliquor.com. Stock up some booze. If you're in Melbourne under lockdown, don't go to the Bottle-O like an idiot and get the Rona and waste your time outdoors wearing a mask. Just bring the Bottle-O to your house and they'll give you a free sixer if you bang in the code STRAY at thedailyliquor.com. Boom, right now, number one, yeah, nah, Gaz, will Trevor Lawrence actually make you watch a Jags game? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, look, I'll watch a few because I want to see what it's all about, first and foremost. Yeah, as in there was talk up, you know.
Are you going to go through puberty first or not? Like, is your voice cracking and breaking then was pretty weird.
Oh, geez,
Mr. Lawrence, I'm pretty excited to watch you play football.
My boss said I shouldn't put my hand in the deep fryer. Yeah, look, I'll definitely watch because, mate, there was talk about him being, you know, undisputed number one for so long that you got to see what it's all about. Plus, there's the added benefit of all the other draft capital that the Jags had, how they settle in, and how Urban Meyer really transitions. Some of the college to the NFL has gone, not so great in the long term. Look at Chip Kelly and a few of the other boys. So Urban Meyer, everyone's talked about him coming over for so long that now he's made the jump. It's basically that whole Jags team is a science experiment.
Yeah.
Like, let's see how it all goes together and whether it can gel. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, like that's kind of the thing. Like, it could be fun for a bit and then we'll sort of settle in and realize, still the Jags for a bit. This will be much better next year is kind of my vibe. Number two, does Carson Wentz actually do fucking anything this year, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
Look, I hope so. For the Eagles' conditional draft pick sake, I fucking hope so. But look, we talked about it halfway through last year when all the noise was starting to be made. It's the perfect spot for him to revive something, right? It's less of a media market than Philly. He's got an offense he knows. He's got old Frankie Reichy boy. A team who was already a contender where he doesn't have to save. He didn't have, you know, the Northcote Park Little League as his fucking wide receivers. He's got some real talent there and a decent defense. So if now he can just get out there and do his job.
Is he good though? Is he going to be any good? I just have zero fucking clue if he's actually good at football now. It's like so many injuries, so many fuck arounds. We've seen him like be half fucking like healthy like all these times. He's coming into the season already dealing with injuries. My hope, my thoughts are just like, I just don't know if he's good. Like, whatever.
I think the key point is now. Now, when you go back, it's so easy for people to have a short-term memory and just go, you know what, that guy was fucked last year. And as an Eagles, a jaded Eagles supporter, everything that I have in my memory
there's nothing else other than a jaded Eagles supporter. Eagles supporters.
That's fucking true.
You're all jaded. I love it.
That's true. But before that, he had one of the lowest interception rates in the league. And then last year just screwed everything. Yes, he fumbled the ball more times than any starting quarterback in the league. But he could make something out of nothing. And then last year it all just fell apart. So I hope he gets back to, you know, 2 years ago. But is he just mentally fucked? Who knows? We're about to find out.
Yeah. Obviously, big fucking the elephant in the room is Tampa Bay. Like, can they do the damn thing? Can they repeat? Is this the year that Tom Brady doesn't have it? Does he still have it? I don't know. Can they repeat? Yeah, nah.
Look, it's a big call to make the year from here. As we were talking about before we came online, they didn't even win their own division last year, and they came hot at the right time. Logic would say it's a brave man who picks against Tom Brady, but we do it every fucking year. So it's easy to do from now and just go, shit, I was wrong again. But the fact that they managed to keep the whole band together, sign everyone back on, is fucking huge. It shows that there's that culture element of it too, which is, you know, it's rare in today's NFL, it appears. But look, if you take the top two teams from last year, KC then going out and investing in improving that O-line that caused Mahomes to run half a mile just in the backfield last year in the Super Bowl. You know, there's some teams who are coming after the title.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to lead into like the last one. I've kind of maybe skipped over one just a little bit here because I've just, you know, reordered shit. Will the NFC East be the NFC least again? I'm really just showing my ass here again there, Gaz. Like, I really should have gone to the NFC one straight after talking about Carson Wentz, but you know, even though he's now with Indy, but come on. Anyway, NFC East, is it going to be the NFC least again? Yeah, nah.
I think for me, this is a definitive nah, right? And I know this is like, I don't think the Eagles are going to improve. Like, they've just got, you know, they've got picked up a couple of pieces, but I don't think they'll make much much difference. And I don't think whoever wins is going to make a deep run of the playoffs. All I'm saying, and I'm not saying that anyone's going to get a 12-13 win season, but I am saying that they're not going to be the easy beats to the non-divisional games that they were last year. The Washington football team has a brutal defensive line. They've added Curtis Samuel to go with McLaurin on the other side. Gibson only got stronger as the year got on. And they got Fitzmagic, who's going to be good for at least half a season and then just go missing in the wander in the... in the wilderness. Dallas have got Dak back, who even at 90% is better than fucking anything they put on the field last year. The Giants have Saquon back, added Golladay and John Ross, and used a first rounder on a wide receiver. So if they don't step up this year, Danny Dimes has got to go. Danny Dimes and Jason Garrett have to be fucking gone. So it's make or break this year. So look, I think everyone will improve. They won't be the laughing stock that we were last year.
Fascinating. Yeah, you do look at some of those NFC, the NFC actual divisions, and there's so many weird moving parts, and that actually leads pretty nicely into the last year now here. Like, with all this player movement and a couple of really, really strong drafts, I feel like, does this actually feel like one of the most wide-open years in recent times? Like, off the top of my head, I could probably make a case for 16 teams that if you told me they made the Super Bowl, I'd be like, fucking sure. Yeah, nah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, look, I know I touched on it before. And look, we fucking touched off on an Instagram post earlier this week, but we're not fucking experts. We got no fucking idea. Like, particularly a couple of weeks, no one's got it when the season started, so let alone 3 weeks before. Fucking players coming back, players going to get hurt. Anyone could make a run. Any given Sunday, Jimmy.
Yeah, I do. Like, just you look at a list of the teams, and I reckon every fan base, apart from maybe five or six of the teams, would be kind of like, yeah, I don't think we can win. But like,
yep,
everybody else could be like, oh, if a couple of breaks go our way, we might be all right. All right, let's do some actual predictions. That's right. It's the NFL Straya Show Your Whole Ass Predictions. Okay, what the fuck do we know? But let's take a couple of stabs predictions. Gaz. This season, who is your bloke who makes you go, fuck, he's good the most? Because mine's Devontae Adams. I think it's just going to be a nice reminder. Just thinking about Devontae Adams and going, wow, imagine him without Aaron Rodgers. How would that work out? Don't have to worry about that anymore. And then we'll have just a big focus more on about how good he is. And he'll be just sitting there going, yeah, to be honest, I'm the best wide receiver in the NFL. Like, or duh, Jimmy. This is a great dare of history. Is Devontae Adams good? Oh, duh! Yeah, that sort of shit. So, who's yours?
Yeah, look, I was real close to going Deza Henry because I'm not a big AFC watcher, and I just watching him run over cunts is just fucking just glorious. But then I just went with Alvin Kamara because I just really enjoy how much he can make let's face it, the noodle-armed quarterback who's been around him for the last couple of years, just pad the stats by taking a 5-yard fucking dump off and running through defenses and all of a sudden is 70 yards in a play. So, I really enjoy watching Alvin Kamara because you'd never know where he's turning up and what he's taking to the house. So that's my guy to go, yeah, fuck yeah.
Nice one. Who is your bloke who makes you go, ah, he actually fucking stinks the most? Mine's going to be Jared Goff because I think he doesn't have Sean McVay to fucking help him look half decent anymore. And it's going to be Emperor not wearing any clothes kind of vibes, I think. Who's yours?
Yeah, look, I think that I touched on it before, but the fall from grace for Mitchie, he's just going to fly around as a journeyman back up. As a high draft pick now, but the honorable mention goes to Tim Tebow, whose name before this offseason I thought I would never have to say fucking again, and then just see the crowd go nuts and the fucking the uniform manufacturers just rub their hands in the dollar bills in their eyes as they fucking rolled out a Tim Tebow tight end fucking jersey when he got picked up by the Jags. And that went well, didn't it? Spoiler, yeah. He got fucking cut.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even want to put him in the intro, like off-season stuff, because I don't get it. Like, I was there in the States living there while he was still like a thing. And it's like, he's not good. What's the fucking fascination? So I get that he was massive in college, but he's just a shit fucking like Christian. Like, I don't care. Otherwise, next up, bloke who gets the MVP buzz early on, then we laugh about it later on. It's the obvious, Russell Wilson corollary. We didn't really laugh about it last year, but it really did sort of devolve into, geez, remember when no one could believe that Russell Wilson had never got an MVP vote? Guess what? He didn't get another one again. But either way, Matt Stafford's my pick for this one because I think he's going to look amazing. And then it's going to settle in as it always does where you go, he started off hot. He's okay still. But it's not, then they're going to be winning not purely because of Matt Stafford. So that's kind of my vibe on the MVP early buzz, the front runner that falls away pretty easily.
Yeah, look, I think it's hard to pick these ones because there's, as the NFL goes, there's always a massive overreaction in weeks one and two. And if you look at last year, the whole Russell Wilson thing started with let Russell cook. Just let it fly, baby, let it fly. And then, shit got found out, right? So at the moment, as hard as I tried to find someone else, I have to agree with the Matt Stafford one because... you always just kind of wanted to pitch hard for Matt Stafford because he was surrounded by shitty coaches who never invested in a run game, or when he did have Megatron, there was a terrible defense on the other side or a shitty offensive line. There was always something. But now there's an expectation that he's kind of plug and play in that Rams offense, right? And it's already got a decent defense. So the excuses are gone. So there's the buzz that the Matty's arm in that team's going to be huge and could fall away. More sizzle than bang.
Yeah. Remember when we were talking about Kyler Murray, like actually making a bit of a run for the MVP halfway through last year? Rookie, you're most stoked on heading into the season. Mine's Kyle Pitts. Like, I'm just excited to see what he can do. I've got a couple of honorable mentions. Like, Najee Harris is the obvious one for the Steelers. And then the other top pick, I was kind of like, Zach Wilson. And I'm already turned against him because the New York media are just 100% on board and jumping all over it. So Kyle Pitts, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, off we go. I'm excited. And obviously Trevor Lawrence, as we talked about. But yeah, there you go. There's a couple ones for me.
Yeah, look, I'm super keen on... for me, it's not the obvious QBs. I want some one of the QBs to come as a standout. But it's Justin Fields or Trey Lance because I like the fact that they're that raw talent that someone took a risk on. Unfortunately, it's hard to be super stoked on them because neither of them's going to be a week one starter. So you're kind of waiting for them to drop in. But outside Pitts, who's pretty obvious, and I'll touch on him when we talk about fantasy later, Devontae Smith, right? For me, as we've invested ridiculous amounts in high wide receiver draft picks. We've had Carson get us to the playoffs with fucking guys we've picked up off the street who were bagging groceries at the local Wawa in Philly. But for Devontae Smith, we've got our guy, supposedly. And it's hard to know what you've got so far because he has been injured, or when he has played, we've pulled Hurts out of the preseason games. So seeing it all come together, there's very little expectation of the Eagles this year, so we're just going to see what happens out
of
it.
So I should have just turned this into which Eagle are you most stoked on, and away we go.
Well, you've already named the big ones, and the ones that I'm stoked on aren't going to start in week one, so what else do you want?
All right, most overhyped team that actually stinks. I've gone with like a roulette wheel in the NFC North because... if Green Bay, Minnesota, or Chicago stink, I wouldn't actually be that surprised. They're all kind of meant to be good. But color me not surprised if one of them stinks, all three of them stink. I mean, they've all got to play Detroit a couple of times. Who knows how good Detroit... like, Detroit are a fucking massive question mark this year. But Minnesota could stink, Chicago could stink, Green Bay could stink, and I wouldn't be that surprised. Like, I'd be a bit surprised if Green Bay did, actually. But at the same time, I do think... there's a lot of hype behind them, and who knows? Like, that shit could just all fall apart. I don't know, but those three teams are, like, all in the one division. I feel like they could all be the team that just has the shittest year you could ever imagine, and I'd be like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, look, I think that in the AFC, most of the teams who've won it have deserved it or built up to it. I don't think there's any particularly hyped teams that you just go, oh, the expectation of these guys is high and they're going to shit the bed.
Cleveland. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
they were a year ahead of schedule, and then they've plugged in a whole bunch of defensive players. So, look, I think Cleveland could be a dark horse to take the next step this year.
Well,
never know. Anyway, so look, I think Green Bay got there on their own merits last year. I think you'd struggle to think that they've taken a massive step backwards. Minnesota, I don't think, and of the opposite end of that chain, I don't think Chicago's got that much hype around them, to be honest. Not yet. I think that they've developed in the future, and that'll come to pass. But Minnesota, I'm right with you on that one. Right with you. I think they're a team of studs, but fucking old mate, what did you call him? Fuckhead. Kirk, old mate, unvaxxed Kirk. He's just proved not to be a winner. He's a stats machine who doesn't get over the big game. So I think that they're overrated. But I know that I say this every year. I've got to come back to the Cowboys. It's our year, Cowboys, with Dak back. Sticking with the NFC, they've got that wide receiver core, that everyone's big talk up on their rookie Parsons and that in that linebackers with Vander Esch and Jalen Smith. But the Cowboys, as always, managed to shoot themselves in the foot. So I think it's Washington's division this year, and it only makes me happy when Cowboys cry.
Love it. Who's your first coach fired? I've got Mike Zimmer or Cliff Kingsbury. I can see, like, if the Vikings really do struggle, and, like, they very easily could in my brain. Same goes for Arizona. Arizona. Fuck.
Arizona.
And I'm like, I just don't know what to really make of that team. And it could go really pear-shaped really quickly, or they could be good. Last year it was so hard to get a read on with injuries, and then this offseason it's been fucking strange. It could go bad very, very quickly, and I think you could see the end of KK and his giant mansion. Who knows? There's my two. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm like, does it have to be, you said coach, does it have to be a head coach? Because can I say Jason Garrett if the Giants and Danny Dimes fucking shit the bed? No, but look, I think Kingsbury's got probably one or two seasons uppies of like goodwill up his sleeve to deliver something. I think Zimmer... is definitely got a chance of being that first one. And I'd have to, on that Kingsbury note, I might actually say Nagy, but as they usually happens in coaching circles, if you get yourself a first round draft pick, first round draft pick at QB, you kind of buy yourself a couple of seasons where the ownership are going to let you trial it out and try and develop them and get some wins. So I think once they move on from the Red Rifle, I think that he'll be proved yourself or get the fuck out, Mr. Nagy.
Yeah, so, look, I feel weird even saying both of them because, like, Zimmer and Kingsbury, like, Arizona, they brought him in specifically because Kyler Murray there. They're like, oh, let's see how it all goes. You feel like he's probably got another year's grace there. And, like, Zimmer sort of, like, last year just kind of sucked. And you then got to wonder if they go bad. Like, I reckon he's first one. But you look around the rest of the actual league and there's not too many other, like, there was so much movement last year in this offseason that you're like, oh, well, there's actually not too many teams left that there's even sort of a remote sort of rumbling that something could be happening. So that's where I kind of end up landing on those two because I'm like, well, last dude standing almost.
Well, this is, I believe, I could be wrong and I'm happy to be proved wrong in the socials, but I believe that this might be the last year of Kirk Cousins guaranteed contract.
Clear it out.
Yeah, which means if they fucking suck balls this year, well then fucking clean start, right? Like do what Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence have done, right? If you have to draft a high QB, then bring in a fresh coach and have them develop together.
Who's going to be the worst coach this year though? Who might not get fired? Mine's obviously his official name is poor David Culley, the Texans coach. That is a bad situation. It's just going to be, he's going to be bad. They're going to be bad. It's just bad.
It's on a fucking, his old mate's on a hiding to nothing, realistically. Like, Literally, their coaching search must have been the like saddest fucking job interview process.
How many
in the
like
world?
Phone calls would they have not gotten back? Like they would have just like left messages like, "Hey man, yeah, it's like Jimmy from I'm from the Texans. Look, we want to have a chat to you about our head coaching position. Just look, anytime you get a chance, just give me a call back." Or of like, I've sent a message and it's just like left on red.
Yeah.
There was like a dot, dot, dot for a second and it's gone. And then there's no message. And I'm like, oh, oh.
He's like, ah, nah, man, I'm good. Like, didn't you lose your job? Didn't you just get sacked? Like, haven't you got like nothing to do? Yeah, but I'm good, man. I'm all right.
It's just,
they've got, obviously that'll change during cutdown, but they've currently got, well, it may have changed the last couple of days, but 49 new players from last year. 40 fucking nine. And obviously he walks in and you've got old mate JJ's walked out the door and they've got a non-existent starting QV. They're down to, what, Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah. It's bonkers.
Fuck, mate.
They do have Aussie Cam Johnson on the team though, so...
Fuck, I'm shattered at losing Camo.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well, we got Sipos. We got another Aussie.
You're bringing in more Australians. That's what you need.
That's it.
All right. Now, more predictions. They're just the dumb questions that we had floating around now. The actual, you know, nuts and guts of this one. Who's going to win each division, Gaz? So, the NFC is obviously your playground. You love it.
Yep.
You are NFC till you die. NFC North, the obvious answer ought to be Green Bay. Me, I just want to fucking just maybe screw around with that a little bit. Give me Chicago, just because fucking why not? Because I think it might be awesome. If Andy can do anything, maybe that defense can get them over the line. Maybe the offense has got enough. Maybe they switch to Justin Fields, he lights a fire under their ass. I don't know. I think Green Bay ought to be a juggernaut. I feel like there might be just like some weird hiccups here and there. Aaron Rodgers is getting old. He's out there being a fucking Jeopardy host. Fuck him. We're going to Chicago. In the East, I've got Washington. I think we've agreed on that one. I just think that they've got the toughest defense out of all the teams. And I think there's just question marks and new bits and bobs here and there for a lot of the other teams, right? And like, as you've talked about, Dallas, it's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of hype. And what happens when Dallas get hyped up? Nothing. Nothing good.
Nah. Unless Jerry Jones goes and hires a couple more felons.
Well, how? And then in the South, look, I think Tampa Bay, we talked on this earlier, just the sheer sort of culture building that comes with bringing everybody back, winning the Super Bowl. I think they keep rolling this year. And then in the West, the obvious one's the Rams. So Chicago, Washington, Tampa Bay, Rams are the division winners. I'm not going to go all the way through the playoff teams because fuck that noise, but they're just the sort of top of the divisions. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I have to, as I touched on Washington already, with all the changes in the East, I just think I can't get past that defensive line for, like, it's just a defensive line of first rounders, and they are going to be brutal and keep the pressure off the back end. And then some weapons on offense, right? They don't need to... Fitz doesn't need to go out and score 40, 50 points a game because he does have that defense to keep it tight. Tampa Bay, look, let's see what's going on the rest of the South. It was a horrible year for the Falcons. Yes, they've got Kyle Pitts, but it's still going to be a redevelopment. Then you've got, like, who the fuck knows what you're going to get at Panthers at QB, and who the fuck knows what is going to happen at, like, when your best hope for the Saints is Jameis taking it off Taysom, then you're in struggle town, right? So I think that the most stable of those teams is Tampa Bay. And the Rams, look, the news coming out of Seattle, it's obviously super early. The training camp hasn't been super positive. But the Rams just seem the most complete team in the West. The one I have to disagree with you on is that Green Bay, right? So obviously... Aaron made a bit of a prick of himself in the offseason, but we know that angry Aaron is when he plays his best, and now he's got a point to prove, right? He's got a point to say that, like, I did this thing and I wanted control of the team and now I got it, so I got to do something with it. So
yeah, I'm on board. I just think fuck him. AFC.
Yeah, fickle.
North, I'm taking Cleveland. Cleveland, that's right, had Baltimore. Thought about it a bit more, went, nah, that's boring, fuck them. East New England, of course, my beloved Patriots. I think this is the year the bounce back. The defense is back. I don't know about Cam. I've got some problems there. We'll talk about that in a second. The South, Tennessee, that's the obvious one. The South is an interesting one. The AFC South this year is just a bit weird and wobbly because you don't know what's going to happen with Indy. You don't know what's going to happen with Jacksonville. And I don't trust Tennessee, really. Like, especially by the time we got to the playoffs last year, you're like, they should be a fucking joke. Oh, no, they've just fallen over, goddamn. So, I don't know. Can they keep rolling, perhaps? And in the West, I mean, the obvious answer is the Kansas City Chiefs, right? I would also hesitate to maybe just say my beloved Juzzy Herbs and the Chargers might push them because, I don't know, the Chiefs, look, again, talk about changes on the offensive line. Sure, but, like, who knows? It might just take a little bit of settling in and they drop a couple of games here and there and the Chargers just step up because Juzzy Herbs, unstoppable. Anyway, what do you reckon?
Mate, you fucking... If the guy didn't look like a five-year-old, I'd think that there was a fucking crush going on there. So I find it funny that before we were talking about overhyped teams and there aren't that many in the AFC, you dropped Cleveland and then you turned straight around and picked them.
Yep.
I have to agree with you. Like, the North, I think, is Cleveland's this year. It's obviously a tight division, but they invested heavily in that defense and it might take a couple of weeks to click, but... Mate, they've put, you know, Clowney's not a sack machine, but he is a disruptor. And having him across from Myles Garrett is going to be Malik Jackson on that line. And they secured up the safety position. It's going to be tough. But also, they've got OBJ back without the pressure on him because they became a run-first team last year. So, you know, they can... It's going to be tough to hold Cleveland. New England... Kind of think you're a bit delusional.
Maybe. The Bills are fucking good. Like, I don't even know if we're going to get over the top of Miami. Like, it's a pretty hardcore division this year. Like, even with the Jets, who knows how good or bad they're going to be. Probably bad, but geez, like, it's a fucking, just an absolute bloodbath, I think, getting through Miami. I reckon Miami will be really good this year. I think the Bills, we talked about it, and this is my entire fucking, like, soapbox last year with it. The Bills... with a team that just kept building and building and building to the point where they make the title game last year. And this should be the year they try to maybe, you know, challenge the Chiefs to actually win through to the Super Bowl. And, of course, now I'm like, nah, fuck it, my Pats will win. I don't care. Yeah. I just don't care.
It was pretty funny. So anyone who followed and knows the Eagles got their ass handed to them 35-0 in the preseason against the Pats last week. But... the Eagles didn't start any starters, but there was the mixed practices all week. And the stories coming out of Eagles defensive backs as Cam Newton drops back, just yelling out, running back, as he dumps off a five-yard pass in the flats to whatever running back was around. So, you'll struggle to get downfield in the first five games. And by that stage, the Bills might be 5-0, which will make it tough to catch that division. Look, fun stat too is since entering the league, I think it was 18, Josh Allen has more rushing touchdowns than Zeke. Random fun fact I came across today.
Goal line action, love it.
That's it. Why not? But yeah, like Tennessee, I don't think the Colts, if they might be tolerant and, you know, decent with Wentz, but fuck, Tennessee being what they were last year plus Julio... makes them tough to beat in that division. And KC, I mean, fuck, it's tough to go against them. All the offensive weapons returning, plus trying to shore up that defensive line. Sorry, the offensive line. So, yeah, look, once again, in both conferences, we've disagreed once because you're fucking delusional, and once because you hate Aaron Rodgers. So,
Hey, that's what I'm here for. MVP top three. Speaking of which, I'm going to leave Aaron Rodgers off because fuck him. My top three picks, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, and obviously Patty Mahomes. I think the cases for each of them are pretty obvious. I think the Bills would be really good. Josh Allen could be incredible again. Russell Wilson, we might see maybe a bit of the reverse of last year where Seattle maybe put it together in the second half and Rusty comes home hard. And Pat Mahomes might just be the best quarterback in the NFL. So that's obvious. And why he'd be in the MVP conversation. I think those three are pretty obvious, pretty easy. I talked about Matt Stafford earlier. Boom. There we go. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I know it's early, but yeah, I said the vibes out of Seattle seem shaky for a number of reasons. But as I said, I thought it was interesting that you left off the reigning MVP. But considering your early commentary on anything Green Bay, and now it checks out.
Yeah.
It feels like you have to at Aaron, because when he's angry he's, and he's snooty, he's fucking at his best. And he's been a bit of a prick. So, look, I think that's going to be the guy. But out of those top four, when you add Aaron, it's fucking tough to get anyone else, right? I don't think any QB is up there yet. Obviously, Burrow coming back. Juzzy may have a couple of years under his belt and be a stats machine. But they're not quite fucking there. Look at how many years Josh took to develop to that point. And obviously, a few rookies. But there's no one in a non QB position who you think can take it this year, right?
A couple of other rough ones that I sort of thought about: Baker and Tom Brady. Obviously, TB, like, second year in the actual, you know, system, knows it a little bit better, knows his receivers a little bit better. Maybe he just sort of defies the odds even more and just has a fucking amazing season. Who knows? He could also get touched once and fucking be done. And then Baker, like, if Cleveland really do put it together and it's just absolutely flying and he's just sort of the orchestrator of it all and they have an incredible record when it comes to the end of it and there's no other clear-cut favorites. Maybe Mahomes missed a couple of weeks here or there. Maybe Josh Allen. Maybe the Bills have dropped a couple of games late. And maybe Baker's just kind of like, I'm the captain of this pretty good ship. What do you reckon? Everyone might go, oh, yeah, maybe, maybe.
Nah, I really think his role's changed to more of a that behind the whole Chubb vibe, that double-headed running back monster. I think he's definitely Chunt, as we called him last year.
Yep.
He's more not quite that game manager, not quite that Alex Smith kind of element, but definitely less taking it on his back to Landry and OBJ and thinking he's got to throw four touchdowns and 300 yards a game. I think if they go the distance, it'll be on the back of that defense in that run game.
Super Bowl matchup, who have you got? I've got Rams Chiefs, I reckon. I think that's where we go.
Fuck, you were so high on Tampa Bay all last year. Like, your boy defecting to the NFC, and then he fucking takes it all, and then you're shipping him off, right?
How about the Bills? I'm literally been riding the Bills' dicks.
That's it. Yeah, you've taken both of them.
I'm off,
right?
Again. Boom. No, I think the Chiefs, I don't know. It's just hard to go against the Chiefs and the Rams. Like, this is almost like a preseason chalk matchup for me in my brain. I'm like, it just seems like the easiest and the obvious. That's never how the Super Bowl works out, though. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so look, I'm definitely into the Rams on paper. They look like they could do it. And McVay, obviously, it seems like McVay was getting frustrated with Goff and, you know, all those things that, while their strategy was fresh and McVay could call in plays right up until 15 seconds before, that was fine. And then players started to work out. Yeah, defense started to work out Goff and it all fell apart. Whereas Stafford's got that wily old veteran and the arm, so they could be dangerous together. Rams are probably the smart pick, but I reckon Bills. I reckon this is the year that the Bills take that one extra step, and his Josh Allen's development continues that one more little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard for the Chiefs to sustain. They've been at such a high level consistently for a number of years now. It's hard for something not to go wrong.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like the Rams, like, my pick is the Rams to win it. Just, I feel like it could all coalesce really nicely and they could just steamroll motherfuckers. All right. Fantasy. Captain Fantasy. The fantasy preview. Unbelievable. That's right. We're going to have a bit more of a fantasy. I don't want to say fantasy focus because isn't that the actual big ESPN podcast? Anyway, fantasy look each week. We're going to sort of incorporate that a little bit more into the show. And in terms of a fantasy preview, Gaz, we all know that philosophies are for fucking losers. So what's your philosophy this year, Gaz? Because obviously if you're going to play a standard one, it seems like the consensus vibe is a lot of running back, just because The top end running backs this year, pretty thin. Then you can go tight end. You've got a couple of gun top end tight ends, which we'll talk about in a second. Then you load up on wide receivers because it's deep as hell. But I don't know. How about you? How do you feel? You've got a pretty funky ass main league that you're a part of.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, that was always the obvious strategy in the most traditional is that running back, fill that because they're the most value. Which, of course, is why I ended up with top flight wide receivers who would get injured in the first couple of rounds and have shitty backup running backs. So my league that I'm in this year has moved to a two QB Superflex dynasty. So it's a keeper league. So we're keeping players.
You're just adding words at that point. Like
what? It just gets. It started out as a standard snake draft, and then it's just got more and more complex every year.
Hey, buddy, and did you see the nerd?
Yeah, I know, right? So now, so obviously, because there's multiple, we can start multiple QBs, and you've got a three QB maximum, but we've got 12 teams.
Oh, 12, shit. I think.
So, which means there's only 32 starting QBs, right? Of which at least half of them are fucking rubbish. So it usually means that if you can get one of the top four or five players, then you might take a CMC or a Deza Henry. But there's a lot of QB in the first two. So or you end up like me, and I had number one overall draft pick in the last year, got CMC, and he did his fucking knee. So I lost him for the whole season.
Yep.
So, yeah, it makes it hard. And then you try and go whatever the running backs are after that. And then your wide receivers. It's fucking... But you've got to keep them. So you always look for the dollar dazzler, little lower fucking rookies who are going to come up over the next couple of years.
Love it. The Mac Jones, boom. So running backs then, in terms of this season, running back, I hate it because it's such a high risk, high reward sort of position, right? Like when it comes to fantasy, where they're the dudes who can just, you can ride a Derrick Henry or something from last year to just fucking glory, or you can have a CMC and just be completely fucked because he gets injured and you just don't know what's going to happen. So it does feel like there's like a pretty straightforward-ish kind of top six with a couple of other dudes floating around in that. What's your order? I've got Run CMC, Daquan Cook, Saquon Barkley. So Daquan Cook, what am I saying? That's basketball. Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Zeke, and Deza Henry. The Saquon is the question mark in there. I've got him three there. Just because I think he could be fucking amazing this year. But at the same time, it's the Giants. And nobody knows what's going to happen, right? I also love Aaron Jones. I always do. Antonio Gibson, I think, is a big one this year. And there's a couple of others, like Nick Chubb. And with Cleveland, I think he'll get a shit ton of work. Najee Harris is going to be massive. There's just like some interesting ones. And I think it's a fascinating year for running backs. But at the same time, like I have like... Even with all of those elite ones, I have almost like zero confidence. Like if I end up with one, I'll feel good about myself. But then if it's like week two when my fucking season's over, I wouldn't be that surprised either, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, because for every Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore, you've got your average running back who after three seasons falls off a cliff, right? Of those, I'm mainly all right. Look, I think Saquon will be fucking shit hot this year. He was such a the most receptions in a season, most receptions in a game for the Giants ever. And that was just straight out of the backfield, just dump offs. Now they've actually got some wide receivers. I think he'll be a monster. The one that I would question in that list is Zeke. He has been progressively getting worse, and now that they've got such big reliance on the wide receivers, I don't really see it. But a couple that you've missed off that, probably Jonathan Allen came on really strong for the Colts last year. And with the question marks over Wentz and that Frankie Reich likes a balanced offense, I think he'll be really good against this year. And the homer pick for me, Miles Sanders, that we haven't touched on. Because he's been completely underutilized and was under, like, Doug Peterson never called a fucking running play. So I think they'll be more balanced this year and get creative with him. But Antonio Gibson, I love that call. I think he'll be great this year. After, you know, slow start and then came on real strong at the end for Washington.
Yeah, there's some other ones like deeper down the list where it literally just becomes like you're going, cool, all right, dartboard. Who am I fucking like? You're just taking, as many as you can, as early as you can, and just hoping for the best a lot of the time. So it's a bit tricky. In terms of wide receivers, though, it's almost like the opposite. Like, I've just gone, my tiers of like the best three, my three BFFs at wide receiver, maybe not the best, but the guys that you're going to want to have on your roster. Basically, if you're going to be in a couple of leagues, basically you're going to want a bunch of these dudes. For me, I'm going to go Justin Jefferson and DK Metcalf in my first tier. I'm just going to be fucking all over that as much as I probably can. Tier two for me is like Adam Thielen, Jamar Chase. Always love Thielen. I think when I've had Thielen on my roster, I've never lost, which is pretty gnarly. And tier three, Jerry Jeudy, I feel like is kind of a bit under the radar. And I think he's fucking pretty, just as good as some of the other dudes we've seen the last couple of years. And Juju, I reckon if he has like a healthy year, I reckon we've got a big bounce back. So it's just like, they're the sort of dudes I think I'll be aiming for, targeting a little bit in whatever drafts I'm in. Now I've just given away my entire strategy. What are you going to do? But boom. Either way, basically, it's because it's such a deep class as well. You can't really go wrong a lot of the time, can you?
Yeah, no. I agree. The problem with you've always got with wide receivers in fantasy is it's such a hot and cold position that you can really, that you can turn it on one game. Like, at least you know at running back, your bell cow running backs are going to get their 20, 25 touches a game, right? So you are going to get your 10 points, whatever. And then, you know, over that, if they get in the end zone, whereas you can literally have just a fucking dead day as a wide receiver. And then that fucks you if that's your reliance. So, look, I always found that, the guys that are, as well as you just kind of are fun to watch as well as putting up points, guys like Stephon Diggs. I think AJ Brown will definitely benefit from having old mate Julio on the other side. He was getting stronger and stronger, and like he was just taking double teams the whole fucking time, and you can't leave Julio. So Keenan Allen, you're talking about tier two. I've always loved Keenan Allen. Always just rock solid, and with Juzzy Herbs, your mate, in second season, I think he's only going to get better. Reliable hands, ridiculous catching. And then for me, how can I not say Devontae Smith, right? He's up for his fucking route running. I have everything. If that translates, that's tier three, right? As a rookie. If that translates, you know, half into the NFL, and we've got nothing else to surround him with, then he'll be good numbers.
Love it. The BFF tight ends. I mean, this one's pretty straightforward. There's like a big one, then there's a big two, and then there's the rest, and you can sort of there's like a mid tier as well, and then there's kind of like the rest. It's kind of weird. So you got the big one, you got Kelce, then you got Waller and Kittle, and then pretty much like from four through ten, you've got any sort of order you want to have them in is like Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews, Hockenson, got it, Logan Thomas, Fant, Tonyan. Like, there's pretty much take your pick of those last six and you're kind of like fine, seven, whatever. And then there's a couple of flyers, right? Like Hunter Henry, Evan Ingram, a couple of other dudes. I mean, the sort of question really comes down to like how high are you willing to take a tight end? Like, would you be wanting to take one of the top three, or are you happy to settle for one of the other dudes in the top 10? What do you reckon?
Look, I think the whole strategy's changed recently when realistically guys like Kelce, Waller, Kittle and Ertz 2 years ago were putting up wide receiver numbers, so you almost can't think of them as a tight end. Particularly when they've become the safety valve for your quarterback, right? Because if you're playing a defense that's covered, then they're just a matchup nightmare across linebackers, right? So you can't really think of these guys as the traditional, and that's what they're saying about Kyle Pitts. So for me, I would love to, as everyone in every draft is going to be after Kyle Pitts. Like, that's that guy that you want to go, fuck, they're going to line him up everywhere. Like, someone who is too big. They'll line him up in a slot and they're too big for a 5'10 cornerback, and then they line him up over a linebacker and they're too quick. So, look,
I think if you think of him as a wide receiver and can get someone high in that space that you're comfortable with, you could do pretty well. You wouldn't be whinging if you had Kelce high last year.
Yeah.
Or Waller for that matter.
Exactly, right? Like, you can't really go wrong if you end up with one of them, because you're just going to end up with a huge, like a pretty sizable advantage against whoever you're going to go up against. But the flip side is like, who else did you get? It's, you know, contextual, right? Like, who else did you have around them? Did it work out for you? In terms of like QBs though, it's always a weird one. Like, so you're in a double QB league, which is fucking gnarly. Like, the obvious ones are like Josh Allen, Lamar, like really that sort of top flight QB stuff is pretty easy. Like Kyler Murray, obviously. Then you got the weird ones like Dak Prescott, and no one is entirely sure what's going to happen there. But I don't know, like, it seems pretty straightforward. Like, if you're going to go for one of your favorites, do it. Yep. Otherwise, like, fucking, you can wait. You'll be fine. I love me a bit of Josh Allen. I just don't know if I'm going to, like, draft him in, like, you know, the fourth or fifth fucking round or the sixth round. Like, I'd probably end up waiting and sort of seeing who falls to me. Because I'd, like, sort of also just be happy with the Juzzy Herbs, you know, that sort of vibe. Or the next question I basically think, like, well, is there anybody else that you're sort of like, oh shit, that's my favorite, I got to go for this guy that's kind of a little bit off the radar? What do you think? Anybody?
Yeah, not really off the radar. I mean, they're pretty, you know, at the top of your quarterback list that the Flyers. I mean, last year I had a bit of a different strategy. One of the strategies in two QB leagues is just go straight out QB as your start. The other one is take, if you're in the top, say, four or five, taking whatever the stud based on fantasy points is, and that was CMC last year, clearly, and then go QB in the next round, right? Sure. So for me, the next two picks last year happened to be Matty Ryan and Carson Wentz, who previously the last 2 years had great stat seasons, and CMC had a great stat season, and both of them had their career worst years, and CMC did his knee.
They had that gas stink on them. That's what happens. You get the gas stink and
curse.
It's over.
I'm a fucking curse. I am the expert at finishing middle of the league.
Love it.
So, look, outside, and you know, you haven't even sussed Patty Mahomes there. So with a quarterback, it's all about it's stats, not only. If you can find someone who's not only with their arm but gets those additional sweet rushing yards, but is also going to hold up for the season. Like, not someone who's not going to put their... You're going to lose them for four or five games because they've done a hammy, because they've gone further than they needed to go. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things about Lamar, right? Like, you can not always bank on the rushing yards at least. But then you sort of look at the way that Baltimore might want to just protect him just a little bit maybe this year. Yeah. You never know. Who's the worst QB you'd be happy, like, being your starting QB? Like, mine is probably that sort of Trevor Lawrence, mate. Like, Stafford is like a pretty, you know, big-ish kind of vibing pick at the moment. But like, if you had Tannehill or Stafford or someone like that, you're kind of like, I'll be fine as long as I've waited. Clearly, the rest of my team should be all right. And you just sort of got to cross your fingers and hope that Stafford or Trevor Lawrence has like a fucking wildly awesome season. But that's about as far as I go. What about you with like your one and two?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Obviously, you want to go as high as you can with your one, and then it really comes down to how low your floor would be with your two, right? And I think two, I would be happy with. The floor would be Jalen Hurts.
Sure.
Because he's a massive question mark, but the thing with Hurts is he's always going to be a good... If he's playing half decent, he's going to be a stats machine, because he averaged 100 rushing yards in the four games that he started last year. Yep. So even when he's had a bad, you know, not a great arm day, or he's thrown picks, he's still putting up those rushing yards. So you're still going to get it. Does he have the longevity to put that up for an entire season? That's the question mark. And that's why you'd be struggling to go, yeah, I'm happy for him to be my starting quarterback. But Stafford, yeah, I mean, I'd be happy with him in there. And Baker, as we said, you know, it's not going to be his stats year. So Darnold and Carr, fuck. Now it's kind of a bit of a stretch. I think I'd prefer Hurts over both of those.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely Darlin,
like
Darnold.
Saying Darnold and Carr, like, that's more for like your second QB in your league,
QB.
Right? Like,
yeah, look, I wouldn't want Hurts as my starting QB. I think I'd... who would I go? Yeah, look, I'd even want Stafford would be close to my lowest as the first. It's really tough, right? Because you've you're only allowed three QBs, so you've got to cover not only what happens if someone gets injured. If someone gets injured and you've got a future starting quarterback, well, what the fuck do you do? You got to drop someone.
Yep.
And the other thing is you got to cover a bye too. So it is a flex position, so you can fill it with a wide receiver or something like that. But still, trying to balance out three QBs when there's only 32 in a league is pretty tough.
Yeah, cool. You know, that's your league. all right, the last one for me is team names I'm not going to try out this year. The Fanta Pants. I'm not going to dice with that. That's a bit fucky. Cuts a little bit too close to the bone. Anyone who suggested that can go fuck themselves last year. I'm looking at a specific mate of mine's wife. there we go. do you have any other team names that you're definitely not going to try out, or what?
We've moved to basically suburban Rawhide. So I'm the North Side Rawhide, which is the sexual as you think it would be. So nice. it's all suburban names with team logos. So you know, it used to be things like my ball Zach Ertz,
yep,
and those sort of things, but they wear out over time.
Nice one. Well, with that in mind, keep your eye out on our facey for the NFL Australia Fantasy League if you want to have a crack against us, because that's right, we're going to be opening up our very own, very, very exclusive NFL Australia Fantasy League this year. You go actually head-to-head against Gaz and Jimmy. It's going to be fucking gnarly, so keep your eyes fucking peeled for that on the old facey and the IG. We'll announce it. We'll be taking applications. It's going to be pretty gnarly. Right, that's fantasy. Final bit of the preview show is actual football. Here we go. Actual football, the week one preview, because when this goes up and I've had my head chopped into with my surgery, we're actually going to have the first episode after this will be after week one. So the week one preview and picks, it's an absolute belter of a lineup in week one this year, which is almost too much, Gaz. But at the same time, look, it feels like a bit of a sugar rush. Like, it just feels like, oh, yes, we're getting so many good games. It's like, can you just pass this out a little bit more throughout the season? This is all like, we're just happy for football to be back at this point. It doesn't even have to be that good. It's like having sex after a long layoff of not having sex. You're kind of just happy. You're banging. Like, it doesn't have to be like just fucking start crying exactly afterwards. Good. Everybody else does that, right? Right? Ah, fuck. Yeah. Now I've done something wrong. No. But this point being, there's some really good matchups. It's gnarly. I'm stoked. The first one are your reigning Super Bowl champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, hosting. That's right. Hosting the Dallas Cowboys. How about damn Cowboys? Gaz, the Dallas Cowboys are 7.5-point underdogs in Tampa Bay. I've gone Dallas. You've gone Dallas. How are we going to go with that? Is that going to be fun? Is Dallas going to be all right? I just think it's going to take Tampa Bay a little bit to warm into it. And then they'll be unstoppable. But I think, yeah, Dallas maybe just come out of nowhere. They might not even win this. But I think it's a close and fun game. And
yeah, I don't think they will. I think that they'll come in and Dallas will keep it close. They'll catch a few things. They'll run on the passion of having Dak back, and they'll start hot, and as they do, and that, like, you know, put up awesome stats games at the beginning, and then shit the bed, and then Tampa will only get stronger. So I'm as weird as it is, I'm picking our mates Dallas.
All right, on the Sunday game, so the Australian Monday morning, we've got Buffalo hosting Pittsburgh. We've both picked Buffalo -7 here. I think it's a weird season for Pittsburgh this year. They should be good. I feel like I trust them a little bit more than I did last year. I just think Buffalo are too fucking good and kick the shit out of them in this one. So give me Buffalo -7. Same with you. Does that feel about right?
Yeah, I agree. I still don't know what to expect about the Steelers' offense this year, particularly their quarterback position, right?
Yeah. Big Ben. He's big old Ben at this point. Carolina, 4.5-point favorites over the JETS Jets in Carolina. This is what I was talking about when it comes to, like, weird, crazy, awesome lineups. How have we already got the Darnold versus the Jets matchup in week one? On one hand, it's kind of awesome. On the other hand, it's like, this would have been kind of nice to build up to, but whatever, here we are. We've both picked the Panthers -4.5. I just don't think the Jets are going to be ready week one. They do, I don't know, like years past, there have been a couple of weird sort of surprises early on with the Jets before they realize how shit they are. That might be the case here, but I just think Carolina might be building on a pretty solid last year, right? So I think they win this one at home. They sort of get off to a little bit of a nice start, then they maybe fall apart. I don't know, but I'm taking Carolina -4.5. That's what you've gone. Does that feel about right?
Yeah, look, I struggle to play the Jets at the best of times. So coming in fresh.
Jags, 3-point favorites over the Houston Texans. Oh, jeez. The Jags. We've both taken the Jags -3. That's how far the Texans have fallen. It's a team full of journeymen, a new coach. The Jags actually seem to have a bit of cohesion. It does feel like this is the time that the Jags then kick you in the nuts and go, steal the Jags! And lose, and the Texans get their one win for the season. But I think Trevor Lawrence might be too good. Who knows? Jags 3-point favorites. I'm going to take it. That's what we've both done.
Yeah,
sure.
This is this year's Jets for me. Like, it was impossible to pick the Jets last year and this year, and it's going to be really impossible to pick Houston, right?
Tennessee hosting Arizona. We've both gone the Titans -3. I just think, look, Arizona, it's going to be fascinating to see their defense in action with JJ. I don't know. I just think Tennessee at home, I think they're too good. They win this one.
Yeah, too inconsistent, Arizona. I can't see them starting any different way with some new pieces. And look, we think Tennessee's going to make a deep run, so it's a good place to start.
Nice one, Philly. Go to Atlanta. Weirdly enough, I've picked Philly +3.5. Gaz has taken Atlanta -3.5. Gaz, explain your reasoning going against your beloved Philly.
Look, I think there's I think Calvin Ridley coming back, like as in at new season as the, and he'll be the focal point as the receiving core. Pitt's coming out, and people trying to cover him early, and the passion and the energy of Matty Ice. And I think that there's still a lot of work to do from everything I'm seeing coming out of the Eagles out of training camp. So, yeah, I think the Falcons might get away with one here.
I think you lose. I think Atlanta win, but they don't cover. So I think you lose a heartbreaker, and I laugh when I've picked up a win on you already.
Boom.
With your Philly team. The Chargers are 1-point favorites against Washington. I've picked the Chargers here. Gaz has gone the Washington football team. I just have put all my faith in Jussie Herbs. It's very, very simple. I don't like the Chargers going east. I don't like them going up against this Washington defense. I just think that the Chargers might just have a little bit of something-something this year. So I'm going to get them off on a winning start. What do you reckon?
It's great. I feel like this is the perfect setup because it's your mate, Jazzy, and I've been talking up the fucking the Washington defense for quite a while.
It's the NFL Australia Bowl. Boom.
That's
done.
It. That's the NFL Australia Bowl. So, I reckon it's going to be a rip snorter.
Niners go to Detroit. We've both gone with the Niners -7.5. The Niners are a weird team to peg this year, I think, just because, look, we know that Kyle Shanahan can do a lot of things. We also don't really know what he's going to be working with a lot of the time this year. Like, you've got Jimmy G, you've got Trey Lance there waiting. At the same time, they're still a good team. Like, there's no way sort of around,
I think. 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. And, like, Detroit, I just don't think they are that good straight out of the gate. I think Detroit might get better throughout this season. I don't know. But I just don't think they're going to win this one. And I think the Niners stomp them.
Yeah, look. They lost some weapons at wide receiver and they're on a lesser QB. And the Niners, they can't possibly have as bad of injury luck as they had last year, right?
Exactly, right?
Like, you couldn't think that they possibly could. And it's only 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. So, look, I'd like to think that San Fran come back. It seems weird that we were kind of kicking them in the nuts last year about how bad they were when, you know, realistically, so much of it wasn't their fault.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, I reckon Niners.
We've gone the Niners. Seattle, 1-point actual favorites in Indy. I believe we may have both picked Seattle. I can't remember if you did or not, though.
I think I did, yep.
So yep. We've gone 1 point favorites over the Indianapolis Colts of Indianapolis in Indiana. Because I just think Seattle, we've talked about it. This is it's a lot of West teams going east. The Chargers going to Washington, Niners going to Detroit, Seattle going to Indy. I mean, even Arizona going a little bit east to Tennessee. It's a bit strange. It's a bit weird. But here we are. I've also picked all three of those teams to win. That's not a good sign, but here we are. I think Seattle, I still kind of think they might be my fucky team this year, where it's like, oh, that's a bit fucky. But India are also probably my AFC fucky team, so I don't know, man. So I'm going to go Seattle. And that's where I've sort of ended up with that one.
Yeah, I think the opposite. I think Seattle starts strong, and then I know we were talking about, said a number of times about it being shaky coming out of camp, but they still do have a lot of fucking weapons.
They do.
Right? And so, yeah, I definitely think that they'll put this one up.
Minnesota, 4-point favorites over Cincy. I just don't think Cincy have it right now. I think Minnesota come out looking okay, then the wheels come off like week 3 or 4. So I'm going to take a minute. We've both gone Minnesota -4 and Cincy. Anything else there? No.
Nah, it's just hard to stick with Burrow in his first fucking game back, right?
Yep.
That's coming back off the knee.
Miami, 3-point underdogs against my beloved Patriots. I've actually gone my Pats as 3-point favorites. Gaz has gone Miami +3. I would probably feel fine with that as well, and I'd probably go Miami as well. I'm just going a fucking homer pick because I've got to at some point. I just want to believe again. I just want to believe again, Gaz.
I think we also decided, we discussed before this session started, that Will Fuller's going to come out and score 9 touchdowns in the first 3 games and then get injured. So he's 3 touchdowns to Will Fuller, and they take this game.
Classic. And then, look, again, great games everywhere. Cleveland at KC as well. This is awesome. We've both gone, we've picked KC -6. I don't know about this one. Like, it could be one of those classic KC games where they come out and absolutely steamroll Cleveland, where Cleveland, the hype team coming into it, they just get killed. Everyone goes, oh, the same old Cleveland. Don't know. I think that's what's going to happen. Give me KC. That's what we've done. It's going to be a fascinating game, though. It's going to tell us a lot. Even though it shouldn't, because it's only week one, we're going to learn a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a slog. As mentioned a couple of times about that Cleveland defense, I think it'll take a couple of weeks to click. And KC will come out hot.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah.
All right, New York hosting, well, the Giants hosting Denver. That's another West-East. Giants, we've both picked them +1.5. It's because there's question marks around Denver, just as many as there are about the Giants. Probably trust the home team a little bit more. They're underdogs at home. Fuck it, Giants, right?
Realistically, I think it is literally the home team we went with, because who the fuck knows what's going on in Denver? And who the fuck knows what's going to come out with Danny Dimes and the Giants?
So, we both also picked Green Bay 3-point favorites against New Orleans. Again, I think that's more about, even though Green Bay are on the road, the question marks around New Orleans, you just don't know what's going to happen. So we're,
yeah, fuck,
bit of trust in Aaron Rodgers. The Rams, Sunday night football on Monday morning on ESPN. LA Rams hosting the Chicago Bears. Rams 7-point favorites. I think the Rams come out flying is my prediction, and we've both picked them -7.
Yeah, I just don't think the Bears are going to be good the first half of this season.
Yep. And then finally, Monday night football, Tuesday morning on ESPN. Baltimore 4.5-point favorites at, was it Allegiant Stadium there in Vegas? That's right. The spaceship. So 4.5-point favorites. Baltimore, I just don't rate the Raiders at all. So I've just picked Baltimore.
Yeah, Vegas have got to prove themselves a little bit. Like, there was no consistency last year. So, come out, it's a safer bet is Baltimore.
Boom, done. There you go. All right, well, same as last year. For every pick that we have that the other bloke does not have, there's going to be a tin involved. I believe Gaz owes me a half slab for picks last year. And then didn't we up it to a slab, double or nothing almost? Around the Super Bowl, I feel so.
Yeah, I think I just was going to pay you a slab, and then we couldn't get together because we've been in and out of lockdown. Exactly. So, that'll happen at some point. Mate, I'm just going to be buying you kegs by the end of this. We'll just, fuck it. I'll buy you a brewery by the end of the 25 season.
Love it. It's like, what does Jimmy need to do more of? Drinking? Come on. all right, well, there you go. That's it. Can you believe it? Season 2 of NFL Australia has begun. That's the NFL Australia season preview. And as I mentioned at the top, with me, Jimmy, out for a couple of weeks, we will be back. The next show will be to wrap up week one for you. So this is the week one preview. It is the season preview. And then, of course, we'll be weekly with all the dumb shittery you've come to know and love. All your favorites like Even More, Yeah, Nahs, we've got the Outback Takehouse. And each week, we're going to be recapping all the games, previewing every game. We're going to be having more fantasy stuff. We're just going to be throwing a whole bunch of shit at you week in, week out. Going to have every little bit of the NFL covered for you. That's what we do. That's what NFL Australia is all about. So, look, I can't wait just to get back into Outback Takehouse, guys. Like, it's going to be awesome. Like, the Outback Takehouse for this week could have been Juzzy Herbs is going to fucking lead the Chargers to the Super Bowl and win the MVP. Outback Takehouse. Done.
Yeah, well, I think we've also, I think you'll find that just an important thing while we're throwing more and more concepts and segments is we've decided to give ourselves time limits this year. So while this one's gone drastically over time because it's a rant and a catch-up for Jimmy and Gaz, we're going to be fucking in and out like Carson Wentz in a collapsing pocket. So
so we're going to be on the ground grimacing and gripping our knee. Awesome.
But so, that's how I usually finish an NFL Australia podcast.
Just fucking Jimmy gets up. Oh, I'm a bit too drunk. There we go. Face went in the door again. But either way, obviously in the meantime, you've got to chuck us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. We're all over that all the time during the season. Fang us a rating and review on your podcast app. However you listen to it, rate and review it. Go on. Don't not do it. I'm looking at you. There you go. And obviously, big thanks. I've always got to go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go listen to their album. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, all the way you listen to your tunes. House Hats, they fucking rule. Smashthedailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAY. Get a free six-pack on your mates, Gaz and Jimmy. Tell them we sent you. Get a free sixer if you're in Melbourne. It's from the Melbourne metro area. Same-day delivery if you order before noon. The online bottle-o. Boom. And plugs, I mean, NBA Australia, even though I'm going under the knife, we've got weekly shows all the way through the NBA off-season, interviews galore, heaps of fun stuff. It's always great. Gaz, you got anything to plug?
Nah, I'd like to go and have some ramshackle shows again, so if every cunt could go and get vaxxed, if that's available to you, I'd like to not be in lockdown, so get out, do that. I'm fully Pfizer'd. I'm fully 5G'd, so let's all fucking get this thing rolling.
Yeah, love it. All right, well, we'll catch you after week one, you dickheads. How good's this? We're back.
See yas.
Later, Hosen.